ثم أما بعض عباد الله، يقول ربنا تبارك وتعالى عن رسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم: وما أرسلناك إلا رحمة للعالمين. Allah says regarding the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم: we have sent you not but as a mercy for mankind. And العالمين is usually translated as mankind in this regard, but in fact العالمين in this verse does not mean mankind, but it means all kinds, not just mankind, all worlds. When we say Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, all praise be to the Lord of the worlds, not necessarily mankind only, but it is for all kinds, it's for all worlds, it's for all existences. And that's what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was. He was mercy not only for mankind, but for all kinds and for all existences, for all created existences. And his character has showed this throughout his life. His conduct, his character has shown that he was a mercy for all kinds throughout his life. And if you talk about his mercy, if you classify his mercy into different types of mercy, mercy with men, mercy with women, mercy with the weak, mercy with the poor, mercy with the unfortunate, mercy with the sick, mercy with the children, mercy with the spouses, mercy with the parents, mercy with the Muslims, mercy with the non-Muslims, mercy with human beings, mercy with animals, mercy with even plants and even inanimate objects. You will be able to find the mercy permeates throughout the Prophet's conduct, throughout the Prophet's interactions with all worlds and all created existences and all kinds of creatures. For instance, if you take a look at the family and how he showed mercy toward the family, and not only showed mercy toward the family, but how he enjoins us to show mercy toward the family. The Prophet ﷺ said regarding the parents, and when a man came and asked him, مَنَ حَقُّ النَّاسِ بِحُسْنِ صَحَابَتِي قال أمك قال ثم أي قال أمك قال ثم أي قال أمك قال ثم أي قال أبوك. Who is the most deserving of my best companionship? A man asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the Prophet replied, your mother. And then the man said, and then who? And the Prophet said, your mother. And the man said, and then who? And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, your mother. And the man said, and then who? And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, your father. So three times he said, your mother is the most deserving of your companionship, is the most deserving of your kind treatment. And then he said, the father. There is so much that we will take just glimpses from his mercy that he has shown toward all those kinds, and that he has enjoined us and taught us to show towards all of those kinds. But certainly we can talk about mercy toward the parents in the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for many hours. But we will just take glimpses from each one. In terms of mercy with the spouse, for instance, with the wife, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had told us, the best of you, خيركم خيركم وخياركم خياركم لأهلهم وأنا خيركم لأهلي. The best of you are the best of you with their spouses. And I am the best of you for my spouses. He has shown extreme mercy. He has shown enormous merciful behavior and conduct towards the spouses, matchless, exemplary, has not been shown before, has not been known before in that part of the world, in Arabia in particular. And the history shows this quite clearly. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also said to us, forbidding us from hating or disliking our spouses because of the natural differences that do exist between the human, between the male brain and the female brain. There is a natural difference. Scientifically, there is a difference between the male mind and the female mind. And the Prophet ﷺ, knowing that there is this natural difference, he said, لا يتركن مؤمن مؤمنا إن كره منها خلقا رضي منها الآخر. As reported by Muslim, let not a believing man hate a believing woman. If he dislikes some of her qualities, he will like others. He will find others to like. So if you disagree with your spouse because of certain disputes or certain differences, that is not unexpected. That is in fact expected because there are different ways of thinking. And there are differences between the thinking processes when it comes to men and women. But never hate a believing woman. If she believes in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you should never hate her. And that means that you will never mistreat her. If she is a believer, you will never mistreat her. You will never mistreat her if she is your spouse, even if she did not believe in Islam, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made that institution of family based and built on compassion. وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ أَنْ خَلَقَ لَكُمْ مِنْ أَنْفُسِكُمْ أَزْوَاجًا لِتَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا وَجَعَلَ بَيْنَكُمْ مَوَدَّةً وَرَحْمَةً. And it is of his signs that he creates for you from yourself mates in order for you to dwell with them in peace, or in order for you to live with them in peace and tranquility. And he put between you compassion and mercy. He put between you compassion and mercy. So the compassion and mercy and tranquility should be the arms upon which the Muslim family rests. And in terms of the mercy that the Prophet ﷺ had shown and had enjoined us to show towards the family in general, you know, the parents, the spouse, and not only the parents and the spouse and the small family or the nuclear family, but also towards the extended family. The Prophet ﷺ said, مَنْ أَحَبَّ أَنْ يُنْسَأَ لَهُ فِي أَثَرِهِ وَيُبْسَطَ لَهُ فِي رِزْقِهِ فَلْيَصِلْ رَحِمَهُ. He who likes his life to be extended and his provisions to be increased, let him show kindness to his kin, or let him join the ties of kinship. Let him join the ties of kinship, or let him show kindness towards his kin. And that is for the family in general. For the weaker and the unfortunate and the less privileged in any society, the Prophet ﷺ had enjoined the merciful treatment, kind and merciful treatment, and perfect treatment. If you take, for instance, the children, how the Prophet ﷺ used to treat the children, and how the Prophet ﷺ used to even joke with children and show a great deal of humor when he talked to the children. Anas ibn Malik tells us that the Prophet ﷺ used to ask about a sparrow that one of his family members had a child, a little child. He had a sparrow, and then the Prophet ﷺ would come and joke with this little child, and he would tell him, ماذا صنع النغير, what have your sparrow, and he did have a nickname for him, what did النغير, or your sparrow, do. And this is to make the child comfortable. And that's why the children used to run to the Prophet ﷺ, not away from him. Usually children have the so-called stranger anxiety. And if you see an older man, if you're a little boy or girl, and you see an older man, you have a little bit of anxiety, a little bit of fear. This never happens with the Prophet ﷺ. You used to run to him. A little girl would come to him, would walk to him in the streets of Medina and take him from his hands and you know, to walk him down the street to talk to him about some of her needs. And the children, when he entered Mecca, ran to him, and they always ran to him because of this mercy that he had shown, and because mercy was not only a practice, it actually radiates from him. You know, after you practice one thing for a certain time, it shows on you. It radiates from your body, and it certainly shows on you and can be read by all sane individuals. The Prophet ﷺ had also shown kindness towards the poor. And there is certainly the legislation of the Zakat itself is an act of kindness toward the poor. He in fact, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, used to say, Allahumma ahyini miskinan wa amitni miskinan wa ahshurni fi zumrat al-masakin. Oh Allah, make me live as a needy person. Miskin would be someone who is not extremely poor, but would still not have enough. Make me live as a needy person, and die as a needy person, and resurrect me with the needy, and resurrect me with the needy. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to command feeding the hungry. He would say, "Atim al-ja'a wa udh al-marid wa fukk al-ani." Feed the hungry. "Atim al-ja'a wa udh al-marid." Visit the sick and release the captives. "Wa fukk al-ani." Release the captives. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had also enjoined mercy to be shown to the sick and the, you know, less capable, people who have infirmities, people who have disabilities, people who have handicaps. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam enjoined us to show a great deal of mercy towards them, to the point where the Prophet tells us that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will come on the Day of Judgment and say to one of us who did not do what he should have done in terms of visiting the sick, and Allah will say to him, to that person, blaming him, "Maridtu falam tu'adni," I became ill, or I feel ill. Allah will say to that person, I feel ill, and you did not visit me. And that person, that servant, will say to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, "Kayfa tamrad wa anta rabbul alameen, ya Rabbi kayfa tamrad." "Oh Allah, how did you become ill? How did you fall in? And you are the Lord of the world." And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reply by saying, "Marida abdi fulan falam ta'udhu wa wa'adtahu wa wa'adtani inda." My servant so-and-so fell ill and you did not visit him. Had you visited him, you would have found me there. Had you visited him, you would have found me there or found me in your reception. And certainly there is nothing more that would encourage people to visit the sick and to look after the sick and to take care of them than a hadith like this. There is so much the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam prescribed in terms of the treatment of the sick. But to move on and there's some other areas of his mercy. If you move on, for instance, to one of the weaker classes of the community, or one of the weaker groups within any community, the group of servants, whether they are slaves or not slaves, Anas ibn Malik was the Prophet's servant without being a slave, and there were slaves and there were servants who were not slaves, but to this group in general, servants, whether or not they were slaves, if you look at what Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu said about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, "خدمت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم عشرة أعوام فلم يقل لي لشيء فعلت لما فعلت ولا قال لي لشيء لم أفعله لما لم تفعل." I served the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم for 10 years, and he had never said to me anything that I did, "Why have you done it?" And he never said to me anything that I did not do, "Why have you not, why have you not done it?" So that was his treatment of his servant. He told this, "إخوانكم خوالكم جعلهم الله تحت أيديكم فمن كان أخوه تحت يديه فليطعمه مما يطعم وليلبسه مما يلبس ولا تكلفوهم ما لا يطيقون فإن كلفتموهم فأعينوهم." Your brothers, and this is in terms of the treatment of slaves, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said to the believers, "Your brothers are under your authority. Your brothers, إخوانكم خوالكم, your brothers are under your authority. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave you power over them. So feed them from your own food. Feed them of your own food. And clothe them of your own clothes. And do not burden them with that which is beyond their capacity. And if you burden them with something, help them on it. Help them on it. So work with them to lighten the burden." And that was his mercy for the fervence of mercy for the slaves. It is actually not only just that. The Prophet ﷺ is the one who conveyed this message that was that in a period of less than a few decades completely changed the social structure in Arabia. Within just a few years, the Prophet ﷺ of Aisha says, never send Zayd ibn Haritha on any mission except that he made him the leader of that mission. Zayd ibn Haritha is a mawla, is a freed slave. The Prophet never sent Zayd ibn Haritha on any mission with any of the Sahaba except that he made Zayd ibn Haritha lead over the rest of them. When the Prophet entered Mecca, and when he entered Al-Kaaba, and that was the climax of achievement, accomplishment for the Muslims to enter Mecca and to enter Al-Kaaba after Fath Mecca, and who was next to the Prophet ﷺ on the right side and his left, and that was Bilal and Usama ibn Zayd ibn Haritha. And certainly Usama is the son of Zayd ibn Haritha, who is a priest slave, and Bilal was also a priest slave. And because that is what we saw in just a few years, and during the Khilafah of Umar ibn al-Khattab, and that is less than 10 years after the death of the Prophet ﷺ, Ibn Abda was made to take over Mecca, or to be in charge of Mecca for some time, and he was a free slave. And you can imagine that Mecca, that had Quraysh, that had the tribes and the clans, that extremely proud tribes and clans and so on and so forth, would in just a few years, be led and be led by someone who is a freed slave. And that is the transformation the Prophet ﷺ brought about to humanity in with regard to this. The Prophet ﷺ has shown and enjoined mercy not only towards those classes and many other classes, but he was the one who indicated the end of classism, and he declared classism to be false and to not be upright in general. When he said in Hajjat al-Wada, in khutbah, in one of his khutbah, or in his speech during Ayyam al-Tashriq, that follow the day of Eid, 11th and 12th of the Hijjah, or 13th, he said during this khutbah in Hajjat al-Wada' that there was pilgrimage, كلكم لآدم وعلى الاضطراب على الأفراد بني عربين على أعظمين على أعظمين على عربي على أبيض على أسود ولا أسود على أحمر ولا إلا بالتقوى إلى آخره. And then he recited the verses from the Quran. إن خلقناكم من ذكر وأنثى وجعلناكم شعوبا وقبائل لتعارفوا إن أكرمكم عند الله أتقاكم. The Prophet ﷺ in Ayyam al-Tashriq gave the speech to end the classism for good, and he said that you are all from Adam, and Adam was made from soil. Adam was made from the soil of this land, so don't be proud. You are all from Adam, and Adam was made from soil. There is no virtue for an Arab over an Arab or an un-Arab over an Arab. There is no virtue for white over black or black over white, except by piety. And then he recited the verses in which Allah said, "Was created you from a single male and single female, and may the information in Christ that you may acknowledge each other, not that you may despise one another. Verily, the most noble of you in the sight of Allah is the most pious. Verily, the most noble of you in the sight of Allah is the most pious." So he came with mercy for all of the people who were less privileged. He came with, he had shown mercy and enjoyed mercy with his ummah. He had great mercy, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, for his ummah. He was constantly busy thinking about his ummah and about the future of his ummah. On the day of judgment, on the day of resurrection, when everyone would come and say, "Nafsi, nafsi, I only worry about myself, I only worry about myself," he will be saying, "Ummati, ummati, my nation, my nation." And if he is concerned about his ummah, and if he thinks about his ummah on and concerned and worries about his ummah on that day when everyone else, even the prophets, worries about himself and say, nafsi, nafsi, I will only worry about myself, and then you can imagine how much mercy he had for his ummah. He did not only have mercy for his own man. He did not only show mercy for his own man or enjoy it, but he also showed mercy for other people, for people who did not believe in him, for people who denied him, for people who disbelieved in him. The Khatib reports and the Tabarani reports comparable. Both of them report that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Man aza zimbi and fana khatibuhu." من أذى ذمي فقد أذاني ومن أذاني فقد أذى الله ومن أذن الله يشفى أن يأخذه. Whoever hurts a peaceful non-Muslim have hurt me, and whoever hurts me will hurt Allah, and whoever hurts Allah, Allah will seize him with power. Or whoever hurts a peaceful non-Muslim, I will be his opponent on the day of judgment. He says in the hadith that was reported by Nasa'i from Amr ibn al-Hanaf al-Khuza'i, من عمى رجل على ذمه فقتله فأنا بريء من القاتل وإن كان المقتول كافرا. He who entrusts the man with his blood, meaning entrusts the man with his life, and the latter says the first, I will be clear of him, I will disown the murderer, even if the victim was a non-Muslim, or was not a believer. So that is the mercy that he showed for people who disbelieved in him. And not only that, as we said, he did not only come as a mercy for mankind. We said that the right translation of this verse would be a mercy for all kinds or a mercy for all worlds. The Prophet ﷺ has shown mercy, exemplary mercy for animals, for all creatures, for even for animals. The Prophet ﷺ would check on a sparrow in her nest that was lamenting over the loss of her chicks, and he would recommend the person who took the chicks, because those were small chicks. You're not going to take them to eat them. You're not going to make any benefit of them. And then he said, woe unto him who made her grieve over her chicks. You know, those birds. But woe unto him who made her grieve over her chicks. The Prophet ﷺ also said, مَا قُتِلَ عَصْفُورٌ قَطْ عَبَثًا إِلَّا عَزَّ إِلَى رَبِّهِ يَقُولْ تَلْهَذَ فِي مَا قَتَلَنِ إِلَّا عَزَّ إِلَى رَبِّهِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ يَقُولْ No sparrow will be killed. No sparrow will be kept purposelessly, except that it will go and complain to the Lord on the day of resurrection. Ask him. That sparrow will point to the killer. Ask him for what reason he killed me. Ask him for what reason he killed me. Not many examples, and certainly many of the hadith that recommend kindness. Kindness to all creatures. The Prophet ﷺ made it quite clear, في كل ذات كبد رصد صدقة. There will be a reward for kindness shown to every living creature. كبد رصد, that would mean moist liver. It means any living creature. There will be a reward for showing kindness to any living creature. في كل ذات كبد رصد. Not only with living creatures. It is not only with living creatures. He had also wanted us to be in complete harmony with the creation of Allah in general, even the inanimate objects. The Sahaba, when the Prophet of the Sahaba alayhim, were defeated in the Battle of Uhud, he was defeated next to the mountain of Uhud. And then the Prophet came one day and said to the Sahaba, Uhudun Jabal yuhibbuna. Mount Uhud, or mountain of Uhud, is a mountain that loves us and we love it. He wanted the Sahaba not to have negative feelings even towards the mountain of Uhud, an inanimate object, because as a believer submits to Allah, a Muslim submits to Allah, willingly submits to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and all of those creatures, all of the creation, does submit to Allah. So it is only natural that if you submit to the creator of all of this creation, that you be in complete harmony with the creation, with his creation. Therefore, you don't even have negative feelings, you don't harbor negative feelings towards an inanimate object like the mountain of Uhud. These are just glimpses of the mercy that he had shown, and he had enjoined us to show towards not only mankind, but all kinds, the whole world, and all created existences. اللهم صل وسلم عليه وعلى قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم. الحمد لله وكفى وسلام وصلاة على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد, to proceed, concerning the reason why we have to continue to remember the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم is quite obvious. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم was the means by which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala delivered us from misguidance and from disbelief into guidance and light and belief. We owe so much to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, and we have to at least remind ourselves of his history, remind ourselves of his great character, remind ourselves of his conduct, merciful and kind conduct towards others, particularly when that is meant to be hidden and that is meant to be distorted, and a different picture is being drawn for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then we do need to remember ourselves who he was, and we do need to remind ourselves who he was, and we do need to remind others who the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was, and what was his conduct like. It is essential also that we do remember this, so that we do not lose confidence in ourselves. We do not lose confidence in ourselves. You know, the modern history, this era of the modern history that we live in, is not the entire history of humanity. It's not the entire history of humanity. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was commissioned to deliver humanity from disbelief into belief, and from the dark into the light of Islam about 1400 years ago. Those 1400 years were full of good works done by this ummah, were a great conduct exhibited by this ummah. Now, this ummah, for reasons that are internal, and we should not absolve ourselves of guilt, we should not deny that we are responsible for what has happened to us over the past several hundred years, but for some reason, including our own deficiencies and shortcomings, including our own departure from the correct understanding of the religion, and also including conspiracies that were plotted against the Ummah, including all of this. We will not deny any of that. We do not have to absolve others of their responsibility, and we do not deny our own shortcomings and our own failure and adhering to our religion that caused us to get where we are now. Certainly and predominantly it is our fault, because had it not been for our own weakness, our own departure from the religion, no one would have overpowered us. No one would have overpowered us. So for the last few hundred years, the Ummah has suffered from many failures in many respects, in many aspects of the life of this Ummah. We have suffered from many failures. There is an enormous amount of zahl, ignorance and laziness and indifference and many afflictions that would destroy any civilization that has befallen us in the last few hundred years. Now there is an awakening. There is an awakening, and when the Ummah recognizes that there's got to be a change, there's got to be a change, since this Ummah has been fractured into pieces, whether it is by our own doing, that is true, and through conspiracies, and that's also true. The Ummah has been fractured into small pieces, but then when you try to put the pieces back together, that work is done by individuals and groups, larger groups and smaller groups, and so on and so forth, because there is no unity. And it is one of these trends of Islam that there is no papal hierarchy in Islam. There is a jihad. There is a jihad. But all qualified scholars can make that a jihad. So it is one of the great strengths of Islam that there is no papal hierarchy. But that lack of papal hierarchy makes the Ummah in the current situation disagree over many things and over the way out of the dilemma, the turmoil that we live in. But that movement is in its entirety, overall, a positive movement. Now, there could be pockets of extremism. There could be pockets of excessiveness. And that is true. Some of us are excessive. Some of us are extreme. And if we can't confess to ourselves, then we will not be able to remedy our diseases. Some of us. There could be also, on the other side, you know, treachery and treason and so on and so forth. But there is also extremism and excessiveness. And there is a very wide spectrum. But the whole Ummah is moving in the right direction. It is the direction of awakening, the direction of resurrection, renaissance, the direction of we have to change. We have to go back and reclaim our glory. It is not glory of power and might. It is glory of kindness, virtue, mercy that was taught and preached by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, integrity, and so on and so forth. So if we have certain failures in certain areas, and if we commit certain wrongdoing in certain areas, or groups of us, or parts of this one that commit some wrongdoing in some parts of this land, we should not lose confidence in ourselves. And we should not let others flip the tables on us and make us feel like we have been the transgressors. We have suffered from colonialism for hundreds of years. And this is not to lament over it so that we can bring about negative emotions towards others or anything, but this is just like part of the awakening, part of making a change. It's to recognize the past and to say, from now on, let's move in a positive direction. So we have been under, you know, cruel colonialism for hundreds of years, and prior to this, it was crusades, and it was this, and it was that. So let us not forget the whole history. Let's not forget the whole history. And let's have confidence about ourselves without the denial. Because we cannot deny our own shortcomings anymore. We cannot deny our own wrongdoing anymore. We have to be able to look in the mirror and to see the whole picture with all the good and all the bad. And then start the treatment. And start, like, make a treatment plan, an action plan to remedy ourselves of the bad and to, enhance and promote and capitalize on the good that this Ummah has. But don't forget your history. And particularly, do not forget the history of the great generation, the generation of the Prophet and his companions. And particularly, do not forget the history of the best of all mankind, the best of all humanity, the best of Allah's creation. And that is Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahumma salli wa sallim alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam bishma fi rahmi al-deen. Allahumma alayhi wa haqqa haqqa wa sallam tiba'a wa alayhi wa dhafir abatir wa sallam istinaba. اللهم لا تسلط علينا بذنوبنا من لا يخافك ولا يرحمنا. اللهم انك عفو خذ العفو فاعف عنا. ربنا ات نفوسنا تقواها وزكها انت خير من زكاها. انت وليها ومولاها واقم الصلاه ان الصلاه تنهى على الشيء المنكر. ولذكر الله اكبر والله يعلم.